All right, so you know, we obviously Renee Good and Alex Preddy lost their lives to ICE a couple of weeks ago, and now we have some polling about what the American, you know, we've been thinking and guessing what the American people think, but we didn't have numbers. Now we do. Quinnipiac poll, one of my favorites. They're one of the few that correctly predicted that Trump would win in 2016, for example. Have come back and they say 61% of Americans don't think the president told the truth about the shooting of Alex Preddy. But 25% do believe the Trump administration's messaging. I'm like, who are the 25%?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, do they see it? I mean, so 78% of Americans, which is crazy, have seen the video. I don't think 78% of Americans watch the Oscars or do anything that communal, right? So this was a huge national moment where we were all doing and watching the same thing. It was like the 60s all over again.
Yeah.
So we do have a big party split. That shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. 93% of Democrats, 65% of independents say that they think Trump lied. 60% think he was honest. But that's kind of low for, you know, for Republicans in this day and age who are so loyal to Trump.
That is low for Republicans, yeah.
80% of the American people believe there should be an independent investigation. Again, who are the 20%? And meanwhile, the new NPR PBS Marist poll finds that 65% of the public believes that ICE has gone too far. Again, who are the 35%? I mean, because, you know, even our producer, Robbie West, says that ICE has gone too far. You know, this is a story that's not going away, the killings in Minneapolis. And it seems like what's going on now is that the administration's trying to bring down the temperature by, first of all, bringing in the very reasoned, calm Tom Homan, who got to keep his $50,000 bribe, by the way.
Yeah, he did. He kept
it. It's crazy. It was a sting operation. At least, I mean, I might say, like, okay, I'm not arresting you, but I need that 50 grand back. Anyway, the point is, Tom, and then also he's withdrawing 700 ICE goons from Minneapolis. Okay, so we're supposed to breathe easily, right? But those ICE guys, they're not going anywhere. I mean, well, they're going in. They're going to go somewhere else, is my point, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're not just going to go back to headquarters and sit and play pinochle.
No,
they're going to go somewhere else. But governors have begun asking state legislatures to pass laws allowing state governments not to cooperate with ICE. We haven't seen that before. And much to my surprise, there's a handful of federal judges out there just over the last 2 days that have begun making decisions not allowing ICE to go into certain cities. And I think that they are just making the decisions, hoping that they get sued or that the decisions are appealed, really, so that the appellate courts can make the final decisions. I think that's what we're looking at here.
And then we'll have more of these federal prosecutors losing their minds and getting themselves fired.
That's right. So,
yeah, I mean, the system is going to start to get creaky. Also, there's these giant detention facilities. It's interesting, right? Like, whenever corporate America or the government wants to put a big, massive cubic foot facility somewhere, they end up usually doing it in red America because that's where the most space is, right? Blue, yes. America is more densely populated. Right. So these giant ICE detention facilities that currently have RFPs out for contractors to, you know, request for proposal to fill out, it looks like a lot of them are going to end up in places like the Florida Panhandle, in northern Texas, and places like
that. Which is where existing prisons already are.
Right.
If you look at Texas, for example, Florida, Pennsylvania. Listen, there's a fantastic book called In Defense of Flogging by a professor of criminal justice at John Jay College named Peter Moskos. And he says that the reason why there are so many prisons in places like Texas and Florida and Pennsylvania and Ohio is because they are the sole employers for otherwise unemployable, undereducated, rural white men.
Right.
And that is absolutely true.
And absolutely. So, okay, so given that fact, given that demographic reality, John, why is NIMBYism cropping up now? Even among MAGA America, people don't want these detention facilities, particularly for immigrants, in their backyard. Is this because they had a bad experience hosting these private prisons? Or is it something, are they afraid of illegal migrants escaping?
It's not escaping. It could be that even they don't make enough money to live on when it comes to private prisons. Private prisons, they squeeze every last penny out of the food, out of the medical care, and out of the pay of the guards. So they're not making any money either. And besides that, there are a lot of people, and I'll tell you specifically, the wife of one of my closest friends works for the GEO Group, which is the biggest private prison company in America. They live in rural Pennsylvania. And they're just not confident that these prisons are going to be there beyond Donald Trump. They think that if a Democrat is elected, the Democrat is going to shut down these private prisons. And then they are SOL. And then what do?
So, yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of like the NIMBYism that affected, although it's a very different demographic, when Amazon wanted to put one of their giant facilities in Queens in AOC's district. Yes. And she drove them away and said, "We're not interested, go away." And, you know, like the New York Post and right-wing media tried to make a lot of it. Like, look, AOC's literally killing jobs. Yeah. But her stance had widespread support inside her district.
It did. And nobody misses it. Nobody's saying, "Oh, my God, I wish we had let Jeff Bezos come here. Oh, my God."
Right. No, they don't. The people would rather. I mean, it's sort of, you know, this reminds me of game theory, John. There was an experiment. I love game theory. And there was an experiment where there were monkeys or chimpanzees, probably chimpanzees. And they would allocate them a ration of 10 bananas a day. And then they took they started reducing the among the half of them. They had a control group. They kept getting the 10 a day. Then the other half, they kept reducing, like, you know, you're going to get 9, you're going to get 8. And basically they started like becoming more vocal and complaining. But once they got down to like 5, they got so furious. They refused to eat any of the bananas. They threw the bananas at their handlers and they started throwing scat at their handlers too. And in other words, it was the people that, I mean, these primates could live with a certain degree of unfairness as they perceived it. But beyond that, they were so angry that basically they rioted and were willing to go hungry rather than deal with it. This kind of reminds me of that. It's like, you know, I'd rather have nothing than have your shitty, poorly paid, gross, hard, unpleasant job. So, okay. So before we move on to some of the viewer questions, my question for you is, you know, how much of a liability is this ICE situation? I mean, you know, immigration is still a good issue for the administration. I just wrote about it. Basically, I think Democrats are not reading it right if they think that, like, now, you know, people don't want deportations. They want deportations. They don't like how they're being done. So, you know, Republicans are getting beaten up because of ICE's goonery. But Democrats are benefiting because it's a two-party system. But that's not a keeper, right? I mean, so how do the politics play out this fall?
2 weeks ago, Ted, I would have given you a different answer. Mm-hmm. But I think all Americans, left, right, center, drew a line when ICE started shooting people and killing them. Mm-hmm. First of all, no name plates.
It's not good.
You can't see their faces because they have masks on, no badges. We're just supposed to take their word for it.
If someone gets killed, there's not even
no accountability at all.
No accountability, no investigation.
And Americans have put their collective, you know, foot down and said, enough is enough. You've gone too far. But 2 weeks ago, before they started killing people in Minnesota, I would have said, well, you know, the Democrats are on one side on this. The Republicans are on another side. It's just going to be another ugly, divisive issue. No, it's different now. Everybody's saying stop.
Right. And so, I mean, how this is playing out most quickly is in the government shutdown, right? The Democrats are holding up funding. They're sort of holding up funding for 2 weeks.
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not even really clear on what the Democratic strategy is on this.
Sure they're not even clear.
They're kind of, sort of holding up funding.
Because there's been some reporting, you know, that to the effect that this money is already pre-allocated by Congress.
Right.
And so it may be completely just window dressing. It might just be a cash flow issue temporarily, like a hitch.
It's been appropriated. There are two different kinds of bills when it comes to the budget. There are appropriations bills and authorization bills. Mm-hmm. So they've appropriated the money. Now the vote is to authorize them to use the money. And that's what we're talking about here.
Right. And so, I mean, so Department of Homeland Security's have, I mean, you can kind of tell the Democrats don't know what they're doing, and they're kind of like figuring out how to drive the car after they stole it, because they don't have a clear set of demands. They've said, okay, we don't want, I mean, they have a clear set of demands, but they're not sticking to them. They're like, well, we're going to, you know, we would like no masks. We would like accountability. We would like, you know, IDs and all that. But, body cameras. Christy Noem already said okay to the body cameras, which, by the way, is sort of a backtrack, because I remember her saying a few months ago that, in fact, they already had them.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then it was kind of like, well, if they already had them, how come we can't get that stuff released?
Yes.
But anyway, she said okay to that. I know, you know, they can use the body cam stuff. They can edit it and, you know, make its scenarios look okay for themselves. And cops have done a great job of that all over the country. Yeah.
Thank you to McKenna for $9.99. But McKenna says, please put out a recommended reading list, specifically on the histories of Israel, the Middle East, Iran, maybe personal favorites too. We actually did that for our paid subscribers, but we can figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And thank you very much for that donation. So, I mean, the Democrats, but it seems like the one thing they want or are asking for is no masks. And that seems to be something the administration is really unwilling to do. Why is the administration so unwilling to do it? And will Democrats like cave as they always do, or will they hold tight?
I think the Democrats are going to cave, because the Republicans are making the point that they're afraid officers will be doxxed. They pointed these websites that already exist with the personal, you know, identifying information, the name, the address, the phone number, photographs of these ICE officers. And I think that the Democrats are going to cave, and they're going to say, well, that's true. You know, there are some bad apples out there that are doxxing people. Nothing's going to change.
No, nothing. I agree with that. And then, that Democrats blow up their own issue.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I think standing firm is the way, if nothing else, just to convey strength, something that Donald Trump is very good at doing.
I agree.
Even though it's not always a reflection of reality.
Donald Trump is very, very good at reading public opinion where the Democrats are clueless.